The Royal Man Report, presented by Kelly's Westport Inn, with Casey Royal Man, Mike Engel, and fake Ned Yost. Produced by Aaron Gnerk. Outro by Andre and the Giants. And now, the Royal Man Report.
And welcome into the Royal Man Report. I am homeless Todd Haley, a.k.a. Casey Royal Man, a.k.a. Troy Olson, a.k.a. a major identity crisis waiting to happen. I'm joined in studio, as always, by Aaron Gnerk over there working all the buttons, and we've taken his mic away today because we're joined in-house by the Jeff Report once again. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and of course, we've also got fake Ned Yost.
I am homeless for completely different reasons.
This is probably true. I know your wife. And Michael and Mike Engel.
I would like to note that fake Ned is also not wearing pants.
Well, that's nothing new. So.
Right.
Welcome to the show, everybody. First off, let me say a heartfelt thank you to everybody on Twitter that said all the good things that you've all said this week to me. I did make it back from Nebraska. My stepdad has survived the weekend, so we'll see where we go from there. Unfortunately,
good
the
news.
Family cat of 14 years did not make it through the weekend.
14's that's a good long life.
Yeah,
that's a good number for a cat.
Yeah, he was between 14 and 17, and apparently they got him right after I moved out, so I was never really close to this cat, but was not a good weekend for my mother. We'll definitely say that. But thank you out there to everybody, including you guys. I mean, we had a lot of emails going back and forth because it didn't look like I was going to make it. Yesterday, we did something fantastic, and by we, I mean you guys. Went out to the Negro League Museum. First time for you guys out there. We're going to talk a lot about that coming up here in the next segment. We're going to be joined by Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro League Museum. We're going to talk about you guys going out there and what's going on with all of the great celebrations that's going on out there and what $100 at the museum can get you, all sorts of good things. In the third segment, we're joined by Professor Jason Parks of Baseball Prospectus and the Up and In podcast, one of my favorite podcasts that isn't this one. So we'll be joined by him in the third segment. Let's get down to business here, guys. Kingsley Coughman got linked on Sporting News, Mike.
Yeah, I haven't decided if it's really like, you know, there's so many different RSS feeds and things like that where, you know, you post something and it pops up, you know, Baseball Reference has stuff like that. Kevin Scobie did an article kind of wondering if Roy Oswalt would be a good fit for the Royals, kind of a free agent preview, and that was up there. You know, one of the things that they have on Sporting News for their baseball, they have a featured article for every team, and we were up there. So I thought that was really cool. You know,
nice.
Anytime we're linked anywhere, I'm cool with it.
Can't hurt us, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Dave Eland is the new pitching coach. Quote from the Royals article on Royals.com. My stuff was probably a little south of mediocre. He pitched part of 10 seasons. He was 12-27 with a 5.74 ERA, a career AAA starter, pitching coach of the Yankees in Tampa Bay. He said he will focus on the Royals' walks issue. A lot of people get really caught up on the fact that he was a Yankee. I mean, yeah, it means he comes from a winning organization. I don't think that had anything to do with his hire. He's apparently the right guy. He was, you know, the joke is that Ned was looking for a mediocre pitcher, and he found one that's a little south of mediocre.
Yeah.
So apparently it fits. I mean, do you guys got anything to add?
I actually do. Dave Eiland was the body double for Kevin Costner, who played the starting pitcher in the 1999 film For the Love of the Game.
Is that actually true?
Was it
or just
Billy?
You're making
100, what was his name? Billy
100%
Church?
Correct.
I have that movie, and I don't remember.
It's on Dave Eiland's Wikipedia page.
Dave
Eiland's
got a
Wikipedia. It's got to be accurate.
That's actually pretty awesome. I did not know that. So,
it's going to make for a lot of fun moments on Twitter next year when he visits the mound.
Wow, is that Kevin Costner?
Clear the mechanism. That's all you got to do. Yeah, and you have to whisper it, too, to tie in for that. I think Kevin Costner's due for another baseball movie. It's been a few years.
I think Kevin Costner needs to come out and throw the first pitch, if that's the case. I think that'd be kind of
fun. I think that'd be funny.
He's been to a couple Chiefs games in his day.
And just have Eiland catch it.
And just have Dave Eiland come out instead of him. That'd be great.
That
so here's Kevin Costner. Oh, it's David.
Oh, surprise.
Yeah,
I don't think it matters that much. I think it's very rare that one coach is actually going to change a lot. Sometimes you'll see it. I mean, look what Mike Maddox has done in Texas. Look what Dave Duncan has done everywhere he's been. You know, I think there are coaches that can have that effect, but I think generally, you know, some of it's probably just the approach and not necessarily
he's got a lot of work to do.
He's the guy.
You know, but if that's the key is getting this pitching to work, and if we could walk less, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because you see how walks hurt a team. It did Texas in.
Oh, yeah.
They walked way too many people.
Terrible.
I'll jump to that. There was a quote on one of the football games today that I was listening to on the way back from Nebraska that Missouri is having a great sports week. And it's funny because we were sitting around this table and everybody kind of had the same reaction to that quote that I did. And it was like, really? Because the Royals didn't do anything this week. And then you remember that, oh, yeah, St. Louis is in the state of Missouri. And so is Kansas City, not in Kansas as Fox Sports likes. But fake Ned keeping it straight on where everything's located. But, yes, actually has been a pretty good sports week. St. Louis Rams got a big win today. The Cardinals obviously got their World Series. Stupid Atlanta Braves and blowing the third greatest collapse of all time. And the Missouri Tigers looked awful good this week.
Yeah, they did.
They might actually get bowl eligible this year.
Yeah, they are.
Of course, the on the other side of the state line, not so
you
good.
You don't need
no.
What happened yesterday? I didn't
There's
a
reason my sweatshirt.
I don't think anything happened yesterday.
You guys played Texas, didn't you?
You know,
well, we were there.
And I'm pretty sure every Nebraska fan was rooting for you guys. One, because we'd love to see Turner Gill get out of this funk. And two, because, God, who really likes
Texas? Soon enough, Turner Gill will get out of this funk one way or another.
Yeah, I think it's he's going to get out of the
state. I think it will not be his choice is the problem.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, it has been a pretty good week. Hopefully the good week for the state of Missouri continues tomorrow. Kansas City Chiefs, first place in the division. We're not sucking for luck anymore. We're actually playing for a playoff spot. So hopefully we keep going with that. Alex Gordon's doing some good things. Check out Royals.com and click on the Playing for Pink auction. It goes off tomorrow. There's some neat little keepsakes there if you're into autograph material, and all the money goes to support the Cancer Association of America, which, of course, hits home for me because that is what my stepdad is dying of. He's got liver cancer. So I love anything that's for cancer. So if you got some extra money and you want some autograph stuff, they've got a lot of game-worn stuff there on Royals.com. Check out the Playing for Pink auction. ESPN misleads people to think Milky is getting a multi-year deal. Royals.com reports no multi-year deal, and ESPN spins that into that he is getting a multi-year deal, and Twitter explodes.
Yeah. The whole report was basically that the Royals, you know, obviously Milky Cabrera is eligible for arbitration. It's his last year of arbitration. The Royals have the option, if they can negotiate it, to extend him, but Dayton Moore has come out and said that they're pretty much going to go year by year. They're not looking to extend him. I don't know how ESPN misconstrued that, because it was pretty clear to me. So I don't know, but Milky Cabrera had a great year, but you end up, it's the same thing we've talked about with Milky Cabrera before. You know, you want to see him do this more than one time, at least in the case of Jeff Rancor. You know, he's had those years in Atlanta with that success. Milky Cabrera has always been kind of a league average guy who came out of nowhere this year to be like fourth in the league in hits. So.
And Fake Ned is mocking the way that Mike and I talk in our chat room, which is at RoyalManReport.com every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. We're calling him Milky instead of Melky, but I like Milky.
I'm from the Midwest.
Amen.
This is what we do.
He is the milkman after all.
That's the stupidest nickname. I hate that
but
nickname.
It works.
Walk off for the milkman.
God, I hate the Yankees announcers. Thanks for that flashback. We know none of us needed. Gio Gonzalez should be not Gio Gonzalez. Wrong player. Johnny Giovitella should be back by the end of December per Royals.com. So the surgery is a success. Doesn't look like it's going to slow him down at all. Should be back and ready to go for spring training.
Yeah, pretty much what we expected on that front.
Myers is batting almost 400 in the AFL and walking a bunch, which is good because Myers had a horrible or a down year in the minors.
Borderline horrible.
Which we're going to talk with Professor Parks about because Kevin Goldstein, not high on the Royals farm system on up and in at all.
Yeah.
And take some shots at Will Myers in the process. So
I mean, we might have that clip some point. I don't know. But, yeah, basically Goldstein was talking about how there were a lot of players in the Royals minor league system. The ones who didn't graduate to the majors, the majority of the top 30 prospects would be considered, you know, disappointments. And to an extent, that's fair. But I think it also ignores some of the context that some of these guys were 19, 18 years old playing at a level where guys are 21 and 22. And they've played at those levels for a year or two. And, you know, anytime you get that kind of experience at that level, you're probably going to be a little better. So when Jason Adams pitching in, you know, low A, you know, he's probably going to get hit a little bit more by some 22-year-old who's in his third year there. It's just how it happens. You know, so I think they held their own. I think it's maybe a little overreaction by Goldstein.
Will Myers will get a chance to prove us wrong in this coming year, of course. Yeah. And Professor Park's definitely on page with him, and he'll talk about that in the third segment when we have Jason on. A player that I hadn't heard much of until we had Greg Schaumann from Pine Tar Press a few weeks ago, but Greg Bielo earns the MLBY Class A Starting Pitcher of the Year. It's only Class A, but at least it's something.
Great.
Yeah, that about covers
that's
that.
Swell. I know Jeff's a big fan of Greg Bielo. He had a very good year. You know, there's a crop of those young pitchers down in the A-ball level that have pitched very well. Greg Bielo's one, Leonis Perez,
Jason Adam,
who we just talked about,
friend of the show, right? No,
exactly.
I think Greg Bielo, he's kind of interesting because he was just on nobody's radar and he doesn't have great stuff, but he's. What if you read Schramm's website, Pine Tar Press? He says calls him probably maybe the smartest pitcher in the organization. So he's a guy that he don't know what he projects to, but if he can keep going and keep getting those bats to miss the balls, then maybe he might have a future in this organization.
So it'll be interesting to see what we get out of him. A couple quick hit notes: reports that Ryan LaFever is going home to be the voice of the Twins. There's apparently some political stuff behind this, but there's no proof of that. But we'll probably hear more about that as time goes. And big thank you that I've been meaning to give for about a month to Clinton INC on Twitter. He's the one that's actually made the Royal Man Report logo we've been using. So thank you very much to him. We will be right back on the other side with Bob Kendrick of the Negro League Museum. Be right back.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
It's got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Royal Man Report presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Westport Bar Doorman.
Mr. Westport Bar Doorman.
Through the cold of winter and the joy of short skirt season, you are there, protecting the Westport bars so that we can pick up on legal college chicks on Friday night.
I'm so drunk.
You deal with the best and worst of the town, answering questions like, yes, I've seen famous people, and no, you don't look 47, and I'm sorry. Howard Light District is 20 blocks north.
I'm not a stink, because you're drunk, I am.
You keep a watchful eye on the bars of Kansas City armed with only a pen light and your ability to do subtraction.
I am 221.
So crack open an ice-cold beverage you might have snuck from behind the bar, Mr. Westport Doorman, and know you'll always control the velvet rope to our hearts.
Royal Man Report is on Sundays at royalmanreport.com, Kansas City.
Amler. We are joined with Troy Olson, Mike Engel, Jeff Herr. So yesterday we had a Royal Man tweet-up out at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in the historic 18th and Vine District. It was me, Mike Engel, a couple of our fond Twitter listeners, Patty Casey and Scott Drinks Coke. It was the first time for me and Mike to visit the museum, and we were absolutely blown away by it. We are honored now to be joined on the phone by Bob Kendrick, who is the president of the Negro Leagues Museum. Mr. Kendrick, first of all, thank you for giving us an afternoon yesterday, taking us around. We were extremely impressed with your operation, your facility, and the stories that you told They are stories that I will absolutely never forget. So thank you very much for your time yesterday.
Oh man, I enjoyed it, and please call me Bob.
Well, I'll tell you what. As Mike said yesterday, if there's anybody out there listening that hasn't been as a baseball fan and hasn't been out to the museum, you need to correct that mistake, because it was certainly an educational visit for me, and just to see. The layout of the museum, going through the beginning, the rise and the fall of the Negro Leagues, and then also the story that it told, about our nation's history and what was going on in Kansas City and the country. How did that layout of the museum come together?
Well, you know, it was really interesting because, you know, we started this thing in a little one-room office space back in 1990. And, of course, it was always with the dream of building a facility that would pay rightful tribute to certainly what we believe, guys, to be not only one of the great chapters in baseball history, but one of the great chapters in American history. And so when we kind of moved to the new space, you know, it was a question of how would we present this story in a way that people would understand the true significance of what the Negro Leagues represent. You know, for us, it was almost a given that you were going to come there and meet some of the greatest baseball players to ever put on a baseball uniform. But what we hoped would happen would be, by the time you left that experience, you would genuinely walk away with a newfound appreciation for just how great this country really is. Because the story could only happen in America. And so even though the story itself is anchored in the ugliness of American segregation, out of segregation rose this wonderful story of triumph and conquest. And so as you saw, what we've done is we wove the history of America and what was happening parallel to African Americans in this country at the same time with baseball. And so really for our visitors, it becomes an all-encompassing history lesson. And so we all thought, and Buck was really adamant about this as well, and so we all had input. And so we thought the best way to do this was to create an old baseball park. And then you could see the field, and then we built everything symbolically around the baseball diamond itself, where these life-size statues of legendary Negro Leaguers cast in position as if they're playing a game. But the entire story is built around that baseball diamond, and we want our visitors to earn the right to take the field, just like these great athletes finally eventually earned the right to play in the major leagues. And so that's kind of how we treated that story, and that's why, you know, the layout is the way that it is there. But people seem to get it. They understand it as they make their way through the museum.
The facility is shared with the American Jazz Museum, and to steal a musical phrase, the layout is kind of a crescendo, if you will. It starts out, and you're kind of going, you start through, and you start at the beginning, and then go to the middle at the end, and then you walk out into this amazing field of legends that really takes your breath away. I've never seen a museum laid out in that fashion that it actually tells a story as you walk through it. That was absolutely my favorite part of the museum. What's your favorite part of the museum, Bob?
Well, you know, there are several, and I think it kind of changes for me from day to day. But, you know, there are several areas. I mean, the field is breathtaking. I mean, it really is.
Definitely.
You know, I think it is one of the greatest displays in any museum anywhere in the world. You know, when you see those life-size sculptures and those statues, and I tell you, man, when, you know, the dust kind of settled and everybody's gone, and, you know, you're kind of in there alone with those guys, and, you know, you just wonder sometimes if the baseball kind of pops out and they start throwing it around the horn in there. I mean, they are that realistic. And there's almost a surreal kind of experience when you walk out on that baseball diamond. You know, I've had people who've come there who guys have genuinely been moved to tears when they walked out on that field, because they get it. They understand not just the fact that these were great baseball players, but what this story means in its entirety in terms of what it meant in sparking social change in our country and all the other dynamics that stem from it. So the field is certainly one of my favorite areas. But, you know, probably for me, and I'm biased because I'm such a huge Hank Aaron fan, having grown up in Georgia, so Hank was my guy. The very rare photograph of Hank that's over in the area that's dedicated to the old clown teams that were part of the Negro Leagues, that might be my favorite piece, because I think it's at that point where people start to realize just how great the athletes were in the Negro Leagues, because Hank Aaron is a name that they know. and they know what his exploits were at the major league level. But when they see a very young Hank Aaron leaving Mobile, Alabama to go chase his dream of playing in the major league with nothing but a duffel bag, all of a sudden, you know, it validates all these other guys that I had been talking about that they didn't know anything about. You know, now all of a sudden the stories about Cool Papa Bell and the stories about Josh Gibson and some of the other guys that, you know, people didn't necessarily know, now all of a sudden they become more real to people because they saw what Hank Aaron did at the major league level. And so that has to be one of my favorite artifacts in the museum. And that picture is just, it is so cool. You know, he was pork chops before he became the hammer.
So is that the rarest item in the museum then? You said it was a very rare picture of Hank Aaron, or is there something even more rare in the Negro League Museum that everybody should see if they love things that are one of a kind?
Well, I tell you what, the vintage Negro League sweater is one of the rarest items that we have. It is from the very first Negro Leagues World Series. That sweater goes back to 1924. And it is one of the oldest known garments from the Negro Leagues. But there are a number of cool pieces in the museum itself. You know, the Hank Aaron photo is pretty rare. He had seen it, but it had been a long, long time since he had seen that photograph. And of course, you know, the Ty Cobb baseball is pretty cool, too. You know, it's, people are just surprised when they come in and discover that the Negro Leagues Museum has a home for Ty Cobb.
That's quite a story.
Yeah, that's
behind
that. That's a great yeah, that is, that's fantastic.
That is great. So the big thing that's going on, and the reason that we're excited to have you on today, is Buck O'Neill turns 100 this year on November 13th. And I ran in the first Buck O'Neill run last year, the 2.2 last year, and had a good time with that. And I know Chris, Fake Ned Yost, and myself, Casey Royalman, are going to run it. We're going to participate in it again this year. If we run or not, that's a whole different story. But we're at least going to show up and go through the motions with it. But that's the first step. The run is the first part of Buck's 100th birthday this year. Tell us a little more about what's going on with the Buck 100 this year.
Well, you know, guys, we're really, really excited. You know, we think, obviously, Buck turning 100 is a tremendous milestone. I don't know if there's anyone that was ever more giving than Buck O'Neill. And, you know, Kansas City loved Buck, and Buck loved Kansas City. And, you know, it's an opportunity for us to really celebrate a milestone. And you touched upon some of the things that are happening already with the 2.2-mile run walk. And, of course, the 2.2-mile is taken from his number, his jersey number, 22. And so that's where they came up with the notion of doing a 2.2-mile run walk, which will start at 8 a.m. on Saturday, November the 12th, at the future home of the Buck O'Neill Education and Research Center, the old Paseo YMCA. But actually, the celebration begins on Friday the 11th with all 10 area First Watch restaurants donating 100% of their day's profits to the museum in celebration of Buck's 100th birthday. You know, that is a very generous piece that the First Watch restaurants are doing. There'll be Royal alumni making appearances at some of those stores. So if you're going to eat breakfast, eat lunch, you know, please consider going to First Watch restaurants on November the 11th and help support the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and remember Buck on occasion of his 100th birthday. Then we come back with a 2.2-mile run walk that morning. We will do what we're calling Buck's family reunion, baseball family reunion, with guys that he had an impact on, coming to celebrate with us and talking about the importance of Buck in terms of their own careers. And, you know, we're excited about that. And that'll take place at 11 o'clock at the museum. So shortly thereafter the race, people can hang out and meet some of these guys who are going to be involved with that. And hopefully we'll have some big news relative to some confirmations along those lines. But, you know, we know that Joe Carter and George Altman and some of the former Negro Leaguers like Jess Rogers and Ulysses Holloman and, of course, Negro Leaguer umpire Bob Motley, guys like that who are going to be there that morning with us to help kind of reflect on the importance of Buck to their own careers. And then we have the big birthday party on Saturday night at the Gym Theater, and which is Buck's birthday bash. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we're excited about this. And, of course, we've got the big fundraising campaign that's going on right now, which is the Buck O'Neill All-Century Team, where we're encouraging folks to consider donating at least $100 in memory of Buck and his 100th birthday. But when they do, guys, they will receive a permanent plaque on the new Buck O'Neill All-Century Team wall at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
And I got a question on that. We were talking before the show. Could people go together and if they wanted to have like a couple of names on the plaque, so the plaque's going to be big enough that if people wanted to get together and have a couple of names on there, are they going to be able to do that? If somebody doesn't have 100, say two people have 50? Because I can tell
and
you
they
from...
team up.
Because what we're going to do is the three of us are going to go together and we're going to get a Royal Man Report plaque out there because we think it's very important to continue the Negro League Museum.
Well, you know, and that's absolutely the case, guys. You know, this day and age, you know, we know money is tight. And, you know, so if folks want to team up, as we say, team up for buck, that is perfectly okay. You know, the plaques at the $100 level actually offer about 3 lines of text, 18 characters per line, so you could actually get 2 names on there, and we've seen that happen to some extent now with some of the folks who have already responded. And so, you know, it's rare that $100 buys you perpetuity, and in this instance, with this celebration that we're doing, a $100 contribution will indeed buy you perpetuity. It will have you become a part of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. It's the first time we've ever done this. We're excited about it. We hope that the community will continue to positively respond to this. We hope to get at least 1,000 people to do this. We're really excited about this. The response thus far has been very, very strong. I think we have a shot to reach that 1,000 people. We've got 2 weeks. You know, the initial deadline is November 13th, and so our goal is to try to get at least 1,000 people to commit to doing this. But, you know, you're right. We're hoping that Little League teams, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, social civic groups will all come together and you know, raise $100 if necessary. So you don't have to just do this as an individual.
Well, Bob, I wanted, on behalf of Chris, we had a fantastic time out there. And like I've said on Twitter and to other people I've spoken with, you know, I hadn't been out there, and there's no reason for that because it's within, you know, if you're within an hour, you need to be going there out to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, because if you're any kind of baseball fan, it's an important piece of baseball history and American history. And, you know, I think it's a fantastic facility. I had a great time. I mean, we were blown away, like Chris said earlier.
Well, I enjoyed it, man. You know, my favorite part of the job is being in the exhibit and talking to people. You know, I could do that all day. You know, and I was very fortunate to be around Buck for so many years, and the smartest thing I ever did was kept my mouth closed and listen. You know, there was a lot of wisdom to impart, and many of the great stories that Buck shared, you know, I'm really honored to have an opportunity to keep those stories alive and share them with new generation of baseball fans. And so, you know, that's always a lot of fun to be in the exhibition and sharing that history with people and seeing their reaction. You know, the tough part of my job is raising money so that we can keep this thing going. But, you know, even that challenge is something that we embrace, and we're excited about the opportunity associated with the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And so, you know, we appreciate you guys coming down and spreading the word about what a great museum we have in Kansas City. You know, we have one of the best baseball and history museums anywhere in the country, and it's right here in our backyard. And we do need more local people to come in and support this. You know, we are a national museum, but we're going to be only as strong as the people at home who I hope understand what this means to Kansas City and to our nation.
Hey, Bob, thank you again for spending time with us yesterday and today. Bob Kendrick, Negro Leagues Museum, Buck 100. Get out there and support. Team up for Buck. We'll be right back.
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then, it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. The television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
And welcome back into the Royal Man Report. We really underestimated how amazing Bob Kendrick was going to be to have on the phone. We're going to have him on again next week. We're going to work it out, try to maybe even get him in studio. But right now, we got another great interview for you guys. I guess we outdid ourselves this week, and we've got Jason Parks from the Up and In podcast and Baseball Prospectus. Jason, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Jason's an international man of mystery. First off, there are no pictures of Jason Parks on the internet. I've looked to put one on the website, and I could not find one of him because he does not use his picture in his Twitter anywhere, which is at Professor Parks. But he also has two homes. He has one in New York and one in Mexico City. And as those that listen to our show know that we tried to get him in Mexico City, and our Skype wouldn't work. We couldn't get the international line to work. We were just a mess. But thank you so much for understanding all of our problems and coming on with us this week.
Of course, yeah. It's an honor to be on. And just a heads up, if I happen to scream or, you know, cuss or maybe throw my phone down, it's just because the Cowboy game is on. Cowboy fan. Just a heads up.
Yeah, just a note. Jason actually has a minor league website that is all about the Rangers. So Jason has been very intently involved in sports this last week or so because he's a big Rangers fan. And
right.
Jason, for those of us that are Royals fans, we kind of want to go for the Texas style and getting, you know, a team like the Rangers have, you know, like Tampa Bay has, of course. What was it like to have that experience the last 2 years, even coming up short with the Rangers?
Oh, I mean, it's certainly, you know, it's a positive thing. Just seeing how the team was put together. I mean, this isn't a team, and this isn't a knock on the Yankees of the past, but, I mean, a lot of teams just, you know, they have the financial wherewithal to be able to recover from mistakes, meaning they can purchase free agents, they can eat bad contracts. We have a team like the Rangers who now have money, but of course, over the last few years have been dealing with, you know, without money because of bankruptcy issues. They needed to build from within. That means, you know, starting at the lowest levels of the minors and just stacking the system with as much high-ceiling talent as possible. For sustainability in baseball, you really need to have both. You know, unless you want to have a $200 million payroll and get free agents to come, you need to put an attractive product on the table, and that stems from, you know, having attractive talent. You know, and I think that what the Rangers have done, and it's very similar to the way the Rays have done, and now it's what the Royals are doing. So, I mean, it's the way to go, and I think what, you know, it may not happen for them, but in a couple of years you could be talking about the Royals in a similar situation as the Rangers. Especially if some of that young talent starts to mature.
Let's talk about that young talent. Mr. Kevin Goldstein on your Up and In podcast shredded the Royals this week on the podcast, which everybody, if you don't download Up and In, which I'm pretty sure anybody that listens to our show is smart enough to find Up and In, because on Stitcher it's the show that most of our listeners listen to and vice versa on Stitcher.com. But you actually defended the Royals, and in particular Will Myers. Talk about kind of what, you don't have to go into all of it because we want them to listen to your show too, but especially what he had said about Will Myers in your defense of Will Myers.
Well, I've actually seen Will Myers, you know, so I think my opinion carries some weight here. Kevin had the opportunity to watch Kane County a lot, and I will admit, the talent at Kane County didn't really show up, you know, the way that they were projected to show up. And so from what he got to see from his seat in Kane County was a product that looked a little inferior, you know, but I had the opportunity to spend, you know, 5 or 6 weeks at spring training, spending a lot of time around the Royals. I got to see them a lot in minor league action, both in A-ball all the way up to double A-ball. I got to see them in instructs. I got to see them at advanced instructs, and I got to see some of the fall league. So I've been around a lot of Royals talent. So, I mean, when it comes to Myers, I mean, look, this is a kid who can really, really hit a baseball. He is a really good athlete. He's going to be a really good outfielder. He would have been a really good catcher if given time to develop in that position. And he had some setbacks last year. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes into baseball other than just the physical ability you have. He was a very young kid at a very high level who dealt with some injuries and basically failure for the first time. So it's natural that you see a player take a step back. I mean, a step back in the stats may be a step forward in the developmental process. And I think that, you know, seeing a healthy Myers out in the Arizona Fall League, I saw this kid raking. You know, if he could repeat Double-A for a couple more years and still be young for the level, I'm not worried about him at all. He's still an A-plus prospect in my book.
Jason, this is Jeff here. speaking of Will Myers, and you just talked about how he's raking in the Arizona Fall League. He's in the top five in just about every meaningful offensive statistical category. The question, we've kind of talked about this on our show a little bit. As far as statistics, and because you can try to balance out, you know, his Will Myers' tough year in Double A, and then how well he's doing now. How much weight, and what can you really derive from how well they perform statistically in the minors, and how that can project to his future?
I think that, you know, you can look at stats in the minors, especially as you reach, you know, go past the A ball level. Once you reach Double A, you start facing better talent. You can look at the stats as a form of projection. Yes. A lot of it depends on the team you're playing. A lot of it depends on the level you're playing. A lot of it depends on your own developmental level. As far as the Arizona Fall League, you can just ignore those stats. And I know it's easy to look at him crushing. You need to look at the way he's crushing. You know, who he's hitting against. You need to have context in that regard because, you know, simply put, a lot of the pitching talent is inferior, and it's a very, very strong hitting environment. So raking in the Arizona Fall League on its own doesn't necessarily mean anything. The way he is raking does mean something, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does, definitely.
Yeah, we want to shift gears to another promising outfielder in the Royal system, and that's, of course, Bubba Starling, last year's first-round pick. Okay. Haven't been able to see a lot of him because of the quad injury and instructionals, but, you know, my question about Bubba is one of the concerns was that his level of competition in Gardner, Kansas wasn't necessarily the same as what he may have faced in, say, California or Florida, where, you know, you can trip over five prospects on your way to the mailbox. So is that something that long-term you see as an issue for Bubba, that he might hit a plateau, or is it something that his tools are going to, you know, transcend that kind of, you know, Gardner High School competition?
I think, if anything, it's a short-term problem. I think that, you can see him in the short term, at least initially, being a bit overwhelmed by the speed of the game, having not played against this kind of level of talent at the professional ranks. As far as the tools go, I mean, you know, his polish is eventually going to catch up to the tools. And if it does, this could go down as, you know, a classic type of player. I mean, you do not see this sort of skill set with a guy who can stay up the middle. I mean, he has just about everything. And there's a big gap. I mean, I have to be honest, there's a big gap between the present and the future. But that said, if he comes close to the future, he's a monster of epic proportions, monster. I mean, people are going to look back and go, man, why didn't he go number one in the draft?
Yeah, and, you know, on that subject, hopefully we can keep the team that we have for the most part together. I think it'd be amazing to see Butler, Moustakas, Hosmer, and Starling in a lineup together someday. On that note, Goldstein always talks about how he loves athletes and whatever, and is Bubba going to be the kind of guy that Goldstein absolutely loves? Because he seems like he was a two-sport star. He even played some basketball. Is he one of those really one-of-a-kind athletes, kind of what you were saying before? Is he something so special that people are going to say, this guy's an athlete, he could just do whatever he wants?
Yeah, I mean, and I share this quality with Goldstein. You see a lot of scouting types who do, you know. It's really easy to fall in love with physical projection and tools. In fact, it's just a lot easier than falling in love with something that lacks that. You know, it's just like physical beauty. I mean, you don't fall in love with, an ugly girl or an ugly guy. I mean, for the most part, you just see him and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I want to get to know this person because, you know, I'm turned off. But with, you know, when you go to a field, you know, you can see Bubba out there in a uniform and just go, well, that's probably the best player on the field. Look how he looks. And he looks the part. I mean, it's really remarkable. You really don't need to see him play baseball to know he's legitimate as far as a prospect goes. Now, he's got a long road to go. A lot of development needs to take place. But, man, he's got the physical gifts, no question.
Jason, speaking of another player here who has a lot of physical gifts and has a really high projectable ceiling, I want to talk about Chesler Cuthbert a little bit, who is somebody who he came on the scene. That's exactly what I was hoping you would say. He came on the scene about a June and kind of just blew up and had to just started out really great. Tell us about Chester Cuthbert. What do you like about him? What is his ceiling? What does he project to going forward for the Royals organization?
Well, I spent a lot of time around him in spring training, and I even wrote an article for Baseball Perspective saying that this guy could develop into a very, very legit prospect. He has a very mature body for his age. He's I don't want to say he's stocky, but he's got a muscular frame. He carries it well. He's proportioned, extremely strong. He has just really special hands. I mean, both at the plate and in the field. He's not going to be a Gold Glove level defensive player, but he's going to be a very good defensive player. He has really good hands, and at the plate, he can square velocity better than most, you know, players his age. In fact, maybe any player his age. If you try to come inside with heat, he can get around on it. He can pull balls. He gets great extension inside. He's just a really, really talented natural hitter. He has instincts for the game. I mean, he's a first division ceiling type of guy. And to be honest with you, I wasn't shocked that he had a good season.
Well, Jason, real quick here as we wrap up to go to break, tell us a little bit about what you got coming up. Pimp out anything you want to talk about coming up on Baseball Prospectus or on your own website.
I always have something going on, but I don't have anything going on. The World Series is over. You know, I'm about to start, you know, looking towards 2012 as far as like prospect projection and what I'm going to do then. I'm working on a couple of book things for Baseball Prospectus, so I'm knee deep in that, and I just got back into the country, so I'm actually enjoying, like, you know, English language for a little while before I go back to Mexico.
Yeah, and really quick, if you do have a subscription to Baseball Prospectus, you have got to go and check out his article on, I'm going to say it wrong, what's the name of the mascot that's down there in Mexico that's the big, like, candy sweet dude?
The Beanbo Bear?
Yeah, the Beanbo Bear. He actually has an article about seeing the Beanbo Bear and just some crazy sports in Mexico. And
that sounds frightening.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you
look
at the pictures.
Might be enough to give me a subscription right there.
Yeah, if you look at the pictures, it is quite the interesting little mascot. But, Jason, thank you so much. If we can, we'll have you on again probably in the next couple of months to talk about this offseason and what's going on. Thanks again for coming on. Everybody check out Jason Parks. He's at Professor Parks. On Twitter, and right on the other side, we're going to come back and actually talk about some current stuff, talk about the sporting, and get you out of here today. We'll be right back.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
It's got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Big Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
Congratulations to the Texas Rangers, the 2011 World Series champions. Ah, I've got it all wrong. The Rangers didn't win. The stinking St. Louis Cardinals won. How the hell did that happen? On the brink and down to their last strike. Twice. Was it due to the genius of Tony La Russa? That can't possibly be it. That guy's a boob and what was on display for the entire world the whole postseason. My theory is the Cardinals didn't so much win the series as the Rangers lost the series. Not even Nolan Ryan's frozen in carbonite face can tell me any different. Let's start with all the errors. It looked like the 2004 Kansas City Royals out there at times. Misplays, not hitting cutoffs, poor pitching when it mattered. And how about our good friend Ron Washington? Woo, woo, woo! Fat lot of good it did you, throwing out your rotator cuff. You lost. You couldn't seal the deal with the prettiest chick in the bar. Now you go home with the hag for the second year in a row. Wash, you lost at National League Baseball to a team whose star left the game because of a scratch on his pinky and Tony, the bullpen phones weren't working, La Russa. How does that taste? He couldn't even come up with a cool, the bat boy was in the way excuse. So now we're going to be subjected to the obnoxious bandwagon Cardinal fans wearing their red birds and saying, I knew they could do it all along. I had them picked from the start. No, you didn't. That makes you as dumb as Ron Washington with his two-bit porn stash wearing, arms-waving stupid mother
fake Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
And welcome back into the Royal Man Report. You know, How do you follow that? You know, I thought I was about to have to do a lot of editing and maybe jump across a desk at somebody. You know, I'm pretty excited that I don't have to edit anything in the Professor Parks interview
nice
either.
Nice job.
Yeah, yes, he works a little blue sometimes.
If you listen to Up and In, they're kind of no holds barred, and we're trying to keep this, you know, a radio friendly type show that maybe someday it will be exactly that. And we were all a little nervous. Sporting just scored. Awesome. Sporting up 1-0 in the first game of the playoffs. They do something screwy with the playoffs in soccer, and they play a home and home, and then whoever has the most goals wins.
If you've ever seen basketball, I think it's pretty much like that, right?
We can go with that. You know, obviously we're not the biggest soccer fans around here, and I did call the Sporting, and I will say this about them as an organization. We're a nobody show. We realize that. We're trying to be a somebody show, but we're a nobody show right now.
It's true.
And it's hard to get the major sports in town to cooperate with us. They would have had no problem cooperating with us tonight except for one thing.
They're playing.
They're playing right now. Yeah. So, you know, I've sent messages to the Texas Rangers to have Trainer on, never got a response. Obviously, we have a great relationship now with the Royals, but in the beginning it was very difficult, and it'll still be difficult to get you know, big-name players on. And this morning we're willing to work with us.
Hey, so, you know what, though? At the end of the day, we had Bob Kendrick and Jason Parks on the show today.
Yeah.
So that's you know, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
not too shabby.
Mike and I have been working on this show for almost 7 months now, I think, and I'm very pleased with the way tonight turned out. I don't have a problem at all patting myself on the back. So tomorrow night.
I do, but it's, no, I'm kidding.
Right.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow night, Chiefs have a shot at instead of sucking for luck, they're going for first place in the division. Jeff, what do you think?
You know what? I mean, I really think they got a shot because we all saw what happened last year. I was there in the monsoon. It was freaking awesome. But then you've also looking at it, Philip Rivers is having an awful season so far. More interceptions than touchdown, probably for the first time in his career. They only beat us by 3 points earlier in the season at their house because Matt Castle threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. If he can just keep things under control, Chiefs can get the running game going a little bit. The way their defense has been playing, I'm telling you, that place is going to be nuts. Halloween, Monday night. I mean, Philip Rivers is going to get frustrated. I think I got the Chiefs winning the game. Probably going to be close. Probably going to be 3-4 points, but I got them winning that game.
Is that your lock of the week?
That was not the lock of the week, unfortunately.
What was the lock of the week? Please say New Orleans.
I think I actually did put New Orleans. I've been burned twice on the lock of the week last two. I should have put should have picked the team that played the Rams last week, and I didn't. But
well, the New Orleans just did not show up against the Rams at all today.
No, they lost.
A couple of notes that's been going on in our chat room. Again, you can chat with us every week and chat with our guests at RoyalManReport.com from 7 to 8. Scott Drinks Coke, who's become a good friend of the program.
Oh, yeah, he was with us yesterday.
Yes, right, he's good friends with Patty Casey, our spiritual advisor or whatever he says. whatever
Zen,
his
Zen
title.
Master Buddha
yeah, his
of
Zen
all
Master
trades.
Buddha of all trades. He talked about watching Game 7 at Kelly's was great. Would have loved to see more Texas fans on the road. I wanted to get to that with Jason, but just not enough time to ask all the questions we'd like to do. Thanks for stopping by, Kelly. Scott, they're a great sponsor, but more than a great sponsor, they're a great friend to us. I do go in there quite a bit and talk to the Kellys. The actual people that own the bar are in there every day.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a fellow Royals fan, Ezra behind the bar, I mean, he's wearing Wilmington Blue Rocks hats. That's all, and they know everything.
Off-brand ones, too, like the carrot hat or
the
celery
Mr.
hat.
Celery or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just a laid-back atmosphere. You go out there and hang out. I mean, that's what else do you want in a bar?
Yeah, and it's a great place to watch anything. We're going to be doing a big opening. We already started planning opening day next year for baseball. Mitch and I sat down last Thursday and started talking about opening day. So there's going to be a big opening day party. So apparently they plan to be with us come opening day, which is fantastic.
Excellent.
In other news in the chat room, it looks like Mizzou won the basketball game, 114-68.
This was a charity game that they had set up with Missouri Southern.
Yeah, I think so.
Missouri Southern down in Joplin, and they had ESPNU televising it. They had John Anderson, who's a Missouri grad. He's also the guy on Wipeout. They had him televising it, and it's, you know, we all knew it was going to be an exhibition for us, but it's nice to give back, and they've done that a couple of times for the Joplin folks.
One quote in here said, Martin Steele, who is kind of new to our chat room. Hello, Martin. How are you? If you have a Twitter handle, pop it up there, and I'll give that out. They donated over $100,000 just with shirt sales. So way to go. I really give it up to Mizzou for that. You know, they could have said, forget that. Who needs that kind of headache?
Yeah, they actually had to petition the NCAA to add that game to their calendar. And so NCAA said, yeah, that's cool. So, you know, we trash on the NCAA all the time. But, they came through in this instance.
Yeah, you really couldn't say no. I don't know how you would say no to that. But great job by Mizzou on that. Great job by the NCAA. A couple of Royals notes that have come across the wire in the last hour or so. Jeff Francis, Bruce Chen, and Jason Kendall are all free agents. Of those, I wouldn't mind having the first two back. The third one can fall off a cliff.
Third one still plays for us?
He was
activated off the 60-day DL and
released
or elected free agency.
Yeah,
so I mean, not really a surprise. Test the market. Yeah, not a surprise for any of them. And I think Francis kind of had that bounce back year that he was looking for. Might test the market. Chen, you know, Pitt was probably our best starter all year, most consistent
last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, for better or for worse, whatever that says about us.
Shouldn't really be proud of that, but it is true.
You know, yeah, it's kind of like it's just one of those things. You know, the Royals are an up-and-coming team, but they're not quite there yet. I don't know if they'll both be back, maybe one or the other. Probably more likely Chen, but in the past he's been looking for a multi-year deal, and I think the past 2 years have shown that he probably deserves one. I don't know if the Royals want to commit to that, and maybe another team will, so I guess we'll see. Free agency starts up. I think other teams can start signing within the next week. I mean, any day now, Dayton Moore could make a trade. Each of the last 3 years, he's made. You know, you've got the Mark Tian trade, you've got David DeJesus trade, the Mike Jacobs trade. All of those were within the first 2 weeks of the World Series, you know, concluding. So you can definitely see those. Any kind of move.
Martin Steele is on Twitter. Twitter. Good Lord. I'm losing it today. I'm so excited about this show and finally getting back out of my car. At Martin Steele, Steele, was the gentleman getting the information on the Joplin game. So
sounds like a superhero.
It almost does. He could be my sidekick. Regardless.
Sorry, Jeff. You're not a sidekick anymore.
I'm not the sidekick?
I didn't know Jeff was
a fly. I was a sidekick.
You're the co-host, sort of.
Sort of. Yeah.
I still got to get that.
You got to get that. Anyway.
Anyways, if you didn't listen to our first live show with the guys from Soundtrack of the Week, Mike talks about he's only sort of the co-host of this show that he's been on for 7 months. So we're gonna have Bob Kendrick on again next week. I've got to lock that down. I don't have more information at this time, but Bob did agree to come back on in a very quick phone call after the segment. So we're gonna have him on again because I think there's so much more. So if you'd like to ask any questions of Bob Kendrick, shoot us an email at royalmanreport@gmail.com or get us on Twitter at royalmanreport. And
better yet, if this is an assignment to all Royal Man Report listeners, take this week and go down there and tour it around and then ask us a question.
Right, and feel free while you're at the museum to give us a call at 816-394-9578 and let us know what you think. And we'd love to play those for Bob. He would love to hear those.
Definitely.
He would love to hear those. So definitely look into that.
It's $8. I mean, you know, if you get the McRib extra value meal and add the McRib, that's like $7.50.
Oh, wait. No. Here's what you do. You go to the Royal Man, go to the Negro Leagues Museum, and then you go buy a McRib.
Why would you buy it?
$15.
If you're from Kansas City, why would you ever eat a McRib?
Because it's a McRib. Have you tasted a McRib?
Yeah, it tastes like
something. What is wrong with you?
It tastes like something that would have.
That's just.
For the record, my fantasy team is 0-4
since the
McRib came back.
You don't like McRibs, you're un-American.
What'd you say?
If you don't like McRibs, you're un-American.
Yeah. Then I'm an American.
Get out of here. You're from Nebraska or something.
And my fantasy team is 4-0 since the McRib has come back.
And
thank you,
we are at odds, sir.
My fantasy team's 3-1 since the McRib came back.
I don't know what mine are, but give me a Z-Man or something from Gates or Arthur Bryant's any day over the freaking
Arthur
McRib.
Bryant's is within blocks of the Negro League Baseball Museum.
Yeah, we had that last night. That was awesome. That was phenomenal.
And it's the original. And none of these people sponsor us, so let's move on. We will be at Kelly's tonight after the show, of course, as always. And if you're looking for a place, they have all the football games. Definitely check them out tomorrow night. $2 pizza slices, and they have $2 pizza slices all day on Sundays up until 11 o'clock, and they have them all night as soon as the Monday night football starts on Monday.
And do not forget to take this opportunity to +1 up yours finger 5 solid Twitter tweet your acceptance of this podcast on whatever device that it is that you are watching right now. That, might have to edit that one there,
what,
Troy.
What that means is if you're on Google and you find us, plus one. If you're on Facebook and you find us,
like.
Hit like, retweet us, follow us, do all that fun social media stuff. We'd really appreciate it.
More exactly, just go into Google when you have a second and type in the little search bar and type in Royals Podcast. And go towards the bottom of the first page, top of the second page. Look for Kings of Kaufman / Royal Man Report because that's how it displays. And plus one that site because that is the search that we are looking for to get. Big thanks to Jason Parks and Bob Kendrick. Jason and Bob both tweeted out for us, and Jason said that we were a plus-plus show for any Royals fans.
What about our wants? Where's our want? That's what we should have asked
him. We did not ask him about our want. Our want was obviously not strong enough to get a hold of him in Mexico.
Right. Some things, you know, there are limitations.
Mike, why don't you talk about what's coming up on Kings of Kaufman?
Well, I'm still going through, and we're doing prospect reviews and just kind of a way to look at the prospect rankings that we did last February and kind of seeing how they shake out now. Some of the recent ones we've done were David Lowe, Lewis Coleman, Jeremy Jeffress, some of those guys, just kind of looking at the year they had in 2011 and what their next step is likely to be. So you want to check that out. It's starting to get to the names that, you know, people are going to recognize. So, you know, I think that's going to be interesting because more people are going to be able to discuss it. So hop on, make comments, and look out for that.
Chris, are you doing anything with Rambling Morons right
now?
Not
really, no. No, I'm just kind of hanging out. No, I had a letter on there yesterday about Ryan Lefevre leaving, and we'll have the Fake Ned Minutes up there and anything else that strikes my fancy.
And Jeff's the big timer around here. Jeff, talk about your 6'10 stuff in your blog.
Ooh. After I was a finalist for the big gig, I didn't obviously win. That went to Sean Brennan. He's having a good time hosting the show, doing a great job. But 6'10 actually called me a few days later, asked me if I wanted to write a weekly blog for him. And, of course, I said yes. So I've been doing that now, and it's my last 2 weeks I started 2 weeks ago is when I started up. So every Monday, go to 610sports.com, and you can go and you scroll down a little bit, and there's a site that says, you know, our opinions, our thoughts, or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it is. And I'm on there, and you can read my weekly blog for 610.
Follow Jeff at the Jeff Report on Twitter. He puts up a lot of stuff. He's a great help to the show. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for all you did this week while I was in Nebraska getting everything taken care of.
I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm
absolutely
too. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to Danny Parkins for the idea for homeless Todd Haley. Hopefully I do it justice the next 2 days. Listen to me tomorrow night on the Big Dumb Fun Show, bigdumbfunshow.com, 7 to 10 p.m. You know, any other closing thoughts real quick, guys?
I awesome show. I mean, tune in next week. Bob Kendrick's going to be great.
Drink it, Kelly's.
Hey, glad to be here, man. This is a great show.
500 Westport Road. We're headed over there. $2 pizza slices, cheap beer. We'll see you there. See you next week. What you trying to be yourself for?
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then, it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. The television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one, and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
The Royal Man Report, presented by Kelly's Westport Inn, with Casey Royal Man, Mike Engel, and Fake Ned Yost, produced by Aaron Gnerk.